Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. And again, these verses of Scripture will be read next week. I enjoy the program. I enjoy singing the praises. If anyone has a special, something that they would like to do or read, please let me know so we can put it into the program. And you want to play, sing, read, just any part that you would like to have in it. And that's the reason we hand out all the verses, because that gives everyone a part in the program. And so it's a joy and a privilege to do that. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to begin reading with the 18th verse and read down through verse 25. And then we're going to be in Luke chapter 2 and in John chapter 3. And so those places, we'll put our fingers here in just a little bit so we can find them easily. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the prophet of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from his sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and he called his name Jesus. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you that you've given us this place to come. You've brought this family together. We've come to hear your word and to search your word and to study your word. And Father, whether we proclaim your word from this pulpit, or whether it's from the radio or from the website, whatever it is, Father, whatever means that you choose to use to touch someone's heart, I just ask, Father, that the Spirit is allowed to come in, that they receive your Spirit, and he comes and he touches their hearts, and they come to know you as their Savior, and then begin to grow and know you not only as Savior, but as Lord of their life. Please, help us, Father, to come. Help us to build this church to your honor and glory. As your return becomes closer and closer as the days go by, we know that it could be today. It's so important for us to be here and to be busy at work in bringing folks to salvation, telling them about your precious love, the love that you have shown in your Son, Jesus. And now we come to this time of your birth when you had a physical body, came to this earth. Please, speak to all of our hearts today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The 18th verse begins now, the birth of Jesus was on this wise. We're going to learn just a little bit today. As each time we come together, we come to build precept upon precept, little bit upon little bit. And so even though this is a story and a message that has been preached and told, probably the one of the few verses of Scripture that you even heard when you were younger, if you were not brought up in a church. You still heard these words. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. We know that Mary and Joseph were espoused, and espoused means engaged. And at this time, to be engaged is a little bit different than today. It is taken very seriously as to be as if you were married. And so Joseph loved his wife, Mary, very, very much. He was a just man, we know, according to the 19th verse. And so as these things unfold in Joseph's life, we learn something about Joseph. Many times as we look at we hear of the message of the birth of Jesus, why we find Mary, and Mary is kind of the center of things. And she was a very righteous woman, a woman that God could use. Each one of us are folks that God can use. She was not perfect as some place her as. She was human, just like you and I. You and I make mistakes. We have problems in this life, and it's a result of sin, the birth of sin as it comes in. But Mary was a godly woman. So was Joseph, was a godly man. And so God's going to take something here, and we're going to learn this. We're going to look at this. God has taken something that's very natural between a husband and a wife, something that's very wonderful, and that's the miracle of the conception of a child. And he's going to take something very natural, very normal, and he's going to make it supernatural. He's going to take something that's normal and make it not so normal. Because you see, this child that's going to be born is born without the seed of a man. It's fathered by God Himself, the Holy Spirit. God needed a physical body. And so, not from the seed of man, where sin comes from, but from the Holy Spirit. And in the womb of Mary, she grows this child, and this child is born. But can you imagine Joseph's thinking when he finds that Mary is with child? Because Mary being with child and knowing he was a righteous man, a good man, and they had not been together, and he knew that. And I believe that he didn't understand at all the situation with Mary, because he knew Mary was also a very righteous lady, a very good lady, a very godly lady. And he couldn't understand it. Again, we're going to learn a little bit about Joseph here, because Joseph, we find, is a very patient man. And we find that he thought on these things, the Scripture tells us. Verse 20. But while he thought on these things, you know, today would we be angry and furious and throw some kind of a tantrum and yell and scream, and we don't find anything with Joseph in that line. We find him to be a very patient man, and again, a very godly man, and patience is something that is a part of a godly man. And so he thinks on these things. And when a godly man thinks on things, he doesn't take man's wisdom to do that. He trusts on God's wisdom. And the Scripture here doesn't tell us that Joseph took it to prayer, but a godly man does that. A godly man inquires of the Lord, what's going on here? There's never a problem with us asking God when we don't understand something. the problem comes when we kind of take it into our own hands and try to deal with it on our own, and instead of just going to our Lord, going to our God and saying, God, please help me with this. Explain this to me, what's going on. Did you ever think about that God could have told Joseph ahead of time? He could have told Joseph months ahead of time, your wife-to-be, your bride-to-be, is going to be with child. It's going to be fathered by God, by the Holy Spirit. He could have told him that. Many times God tells things ahead so they're prepared for it. But you see, God waited. He wanted to see. He found out that Joseph was a very godly man, a very righteous man, a very good man. Because he didn't respond. He didn't put her out to shame. It's told us in verse 19, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. He loved her so. He didn't understand, but he loved her so. And then he began to put this to prayer and, God, please explain this to me. And I believe very quickly God did. In verse 20, but while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. God shared very quickly what was going on. Joseph, being a very godly man, accepted those words, trusted in those words. Oh, we need to trust in the Word of God. We need to wait, because God performs miracles in our lives all the time. We need to depend upon Him and watch Him to do those things. And when something comes in our way and it's kind of a strange occurrence, something that's not natural, we need to be prepared. We need to go to the Lord, find out what's going on, because you see, our God will tell us and explain it to us. In verse 21, it continues, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. You see, we talk about Mary and we talk about Joseph. And you know, we talk about the shepherds and the wise men and the manger and the star. We talk about the frankincense and myrrh that is brought. That's just encircling the story. Because you see, it's all about Jesus. That's what this is all about. It is all about Jesus. Because you see, he told Joseph here early on, when Mary was still carrying the child, that it told him his name will be Jesus. And his purpose is to save his people from their sins. That's why he's coming, to save the people from their sins. You see, so Jesus was born, took on the body of a man to save. Jesus took on the body of a man so he could die, to save us and to set us free. John chapter 3. And if you want to, please just take your hand, and we're going to be in Luke here in just a little bit. I'm going to read from the book of Luke, chapter 1. Actually, Luke chapter 2. And then we're going to be in John chapter 3. And so I'm sure that you have not had many messages that has been preached the short time before Christmas out of the Gospel of John, because the Gospel of John does not cover the trip to Bethlehem and the birth of the Lord Jesus and those things. And so But I want you to see, because we're going to begin with verse 31, John chapter 3, verse 31. He that cometh from above is above all. He that cometh from above is above all. Jesus, the Son of God, came and took on the physical body to save us. That same Jesus is the one that spoke into existence all the world. That same Jesus is the one that has given us, that breathed life into us after he made us. That same Jesus is the one that put the birds in the air and the fish in the sea and the animals upon this earth. That same Jesus. He created it. Our Creator is greater than the creatures that he has created, than the world that he has created. He is greater. He is greater. You think, well, that's a simple statement, but do we believe that? Because you see, we seem to praise and honor this life and this world more than we do our God. And he not only created this world for us, but he also then come to save us. And in God's glorious plan, the words was before, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see, when we look at this baby that's born in Bethlehem, he is God, forever God, and yet he has come from glory and humbled himself to come to this earth. And it would be humbling himself to come to this earth if he would come and lived in the greatest castle that had ever been built, encircled by the greatest people of all the world. It would still be the most humbling experience that anyone could imagine, coming from glory, coming from everything. God owns, possesses everything, and he brought himself down and came as a baby child, lived and died to set us free. This same Jesus that come 2,000 years ago from the throne of glory to a lowly manger, this same Jesus has come, as the verse 32 in John tells us, what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies. You see, Jesus knows everything. He is God. He is God. This child that is born, this Christmas season that we celebrate, is all about Jesus. It's all about Jesus. He knows everything because he is God. He is there. He possesses everything. Hold your fingers into John. We'll be back there. Hold them in Luke. We'll continue back in Matthew. As we look once again at verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now this was all done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, and then that's the 23rd verse, this is Isaiah 7:14, a prophecy that was made, that was proclaimed 750 years before the event. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is being interpreted, God with us. God with us. Jesus, the Creator of the world, received, was willing to be obedient to His Father and come to earth to save us. To save us. Let's go to Luke chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 20 verses of this, because this is what took place, is we find in the Matthew, verse 18, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was in this wise." And so here's part of the story for us, and we'll be reading all this next week, and so be back for that. Luke chapter 2, verse 1. "And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. This taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, into the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David. He went to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in that same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came unto them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were so afraid. The angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. And for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath shown with made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. We find in reading this second chapter of Luke, and again, keep your hand in Matthew, Luke, and John, we find that this Jesus, 25th verse of Matthew chapter 1, he knew her not till he brought forth her firstborn son and called his name Jesus. We know that this same man, God, was sent, chapter 3, verse 34 of John, For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. He is the only one that received the fullness, knew everything, possessed everything, and he has brought it to earth so that you and I can live. In Luke, we find that the shepherds were the ones that were called first. the shepherds during this time was the classed as the lowest class of people. They weren't of any count or any thought. They were told the message first. Where was this Son of God born? In a manger, in the lowliest place in all the earth. King of kings, Lord of lords, was born that night in Bethlehem and was laid in a manger because there was no room in the inn. I hope that you can get in your mind and in your heart the God the Father, how much He loved us. And then get in your mind, in your heart, how much God the Son was obedient to God the Father to come here to earth. He is the Creator of all. And yet He humbled Himself and come to this earth to seek and to save those that are lost. What a simple message. And He didn't want anyone to think that they were below Him. Even though He was God, Creator, King of kings. And yet He came in the most humble form and had the lowest class of people announce His arrival. So you see, there isn't anyone that cannot come to Jesus. Why do people choose not to come to the Savior? Not to come this one that was born upon this earth? It's because of pride. It's because they think it's below them to trust in a carpenter's son as their Savior. It's because they do not believe the Word of God. They won't come by faith to Jesus. They don't feel they need Him. They're not bad enough, evil enough. They don't need Him. Back in John verse 32, when He tells us that He knows everything, the last half of that verse tells us, and no man receives His testimony. He come to seek and to save the world, and yet it was rejected by the very ones He come to save. God Almighty, Maker of the heaven and the earth, come to save us. And we're celebrating His birth on this day, these days of this Christmas celebration. Remember what He is, what He's done for us, where He's come from, where He came to, where He came. In the most humble form, from glory to a manger. From the angels proclaiming and the trumpet sounding to the shepherds going to Bethlehem to say, the Son of God is born. Why wasn't the world ready? Why wasn't the world awakened by this? They had announcements. They knew it. When we read through the wise men as they come, they saw the star in the east, and they come. They come. They wanted to see the Son of God. They had read the Word of God. But you see today. You see today, as there was no room in the inn, neither does there appear to be room in the hearts of most of the world for Jesus. So we're together with our families, and we're out with folks maybe different than we're usually around during this Christmas season. Please tell them about Jesus. Tell them about Jesus. You may get the same response that I got from my family many years ago. My mother handed me the Bible, and she says, big family Bible, couldn't hardly hold it. Said, read the Christmas story. I read the Christmas story. And when I finished the Christmas story, I turned to when Jesus went to the cross. And just that fast, everybody dispersed. It was time to get the dinner. It was time to do this. It was time to do that. You see, they don't mind hearing about this lowly child that was born in Bethlehem. But when you talk about what he's come to do and tell about the cross of Calvary, they don't want to hear that. So when you say your family doesn't want to hear it, I understand, because mine didn't either. Let's raise our children knowing that story. Let's raise our children hearing that message. Let's raise our children so they'll tell their children about that glorious day that God came to earth to save. Let's close in prayer. Father, I thank you for this message. I thank you for your precious words. Please just speak to all of our hearts. It's a glorious day to be born again. It's a wonderful day to have the opportunity to tell other people about it. Don't let us miss that. Don't let us be lazy about your work. Let's be busy about your work. The time is so short. And Father, whether it's to go and sing praises through the Christmas carols at a nursing home to be a blessing and maybe reach someone there that they'll hear the word, or whether to speak the name of Jesus at our family get-togethers, whatever it may be. We know it's by your power and your strength. You are the creator of the world, the savior of the world, and you give us all strength and power. We thank you for your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, as he teaches us so clearly of you, Lord Jesus. And then you tell us that without you, we cannot know the Father. And so even though much of the world speaks of God this and God that, if they've missed the Son, they have nothing. Thank you, dear Father, for this day. And thank you for your precious word. Now speak to all of our hearts. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.